an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello, welcome back to NITV Radio. Well, last night was a huge night for NITV as one of my favourite podcasts, Wild Black Women, premiered as a pilot sort of show to, I guess, discuss the podcast's issues and what our sisters, Dr. Chelsea Bond and Angelina Hurley, have been discussing on their podcasts all year. For me, it was very empowering. It was funny. It was educational. It was informative. And I guess from a man's perspective, it helps teach you how to, you know, be a better man and look after our sisters and have more of an understanding. But I'm got on the line now one of the Wild Black Women that make up the dynamic duo of the Wild Black Women, Miss Angelina Hurley. Ange, how are you, sis?
I'm good, brother. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
No worries. How are you feeling after your premiere last night?
Oh, we were really nervous leading up, but we're relieved now a bit. So, and it's getting good feedback, so we're very lucky and very grateful. It was great.
No, it's just such a, you know, I sent a message to my boss, Tanya, this morning, Danny Orme, and I was like, I'm glad we took a risk with this. I'm glad that, you know, we took a chance on putting this type of, you know, discussion on NITV because we haven't had it before. Yeah. Can you tell us about Wild Black Women, the show, and what you do and what you talk about and sort of how it all works?
Yeah, it kind of, well, it happened really organically, really. Up here and I suppose around the country, we were watching mainstream media all the time. There's about a lot of dominance of non-Indigenous people, obviously, but real lack of, you know, the sisters, you know, Aboriginal women's, First Nations women's voices on TV and in commentary and that, you know, unless you're watching, you know, NITV or Indigenous media or radio around the country, you don't really get that enough. And so we were just asked me to come on the Let's Talk program one day. And we thought, what can we talk about? And she said, let's just talk about stuff that made us wild this week. And it just grew from there. And literally we were just reporting, you know, giving a black woman's perspective on the news, on issues, things that the way we talk normally in the community, but people just don't hear it, you know?
No, that's what I love about the Wild Black Women podcast, because it's stuff that in our own bubble that we talk about, but it's not out there to the world. There's no space in the media landscape for it, but at NITV and through Beamer, of course, our lovely brothers and sisters up there, we've been able to make this happen. So, yeah. You know, it must feel refreshing and empowering. And what's some of the feedback that you've had out there from the mob burning down the Twitter sphere and the social media?
We didn't know what to expect, really. We just sort of leave it into the hands of the universe, so to speak. But the mob have been always really supportive of us. We do our research and our homework, and we're always really worried about, you know, we have pre-production meetings where people think we're full on our radio show, but you should come to the pre-production meeting because it's more full on than that. You know, should we say this? Are we allowed to say that? Are we being too mean? But, you know, this stuff is already out there in the media. We're just reporting on stuff that's already there. And we're just giving it our spin and our perspective, that's all.
Yeah, I feel that, because I feel like sometimes we're too safe to come out and say stuff that's already out there because we're blackfellas.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think we're worried about getting targeted maybe or something, but that's what I love about it. Let's just speak and say what we've got to say, you know.
I know, we've been silent for too long, and I can remember I was born under the Jockey Peterson regime, and, you know, born from a generation of people who weren't allowed to talk and suppressed and, you know, told, you know, how to act, really regulated their lives. So, it's really frustrating and tiring growing up not being able to have a voice and not express yourself because of fear, you know, which has happened historically. And I'm really glad to see that, you know, not that there hasn't been, you know, protests and Indigenous voices, you know, over time, but, it's just sort of, Yeah, it's given us, especially up here, it's given us a little bit of a platform, and we're surprised that our audience is actually mostly Migaloo.
Migaloo.
and white men.
I know.
We just go, oh, there's a bit of education going on, so that's cool.
Well, that's one of the segments I really enjoyed last night was sending Migaloo to the mall. Can you just tell us about that? Because I know it's one of the things here at the feed did with Mark Humphreys, you know, get the whitest looking white Australian to take down, you know, white racism and white hatred out there. And they did it beautifully. And when I saw that segment last night, it reminded me of that, but it was just so hilarious.
Yes. Imogen is gold. She's a natural. But we just thought, you know, let's take it, you know, let's not be bias in the sense that, you know, we're not getting another point of view, and we're sort of taking the piss, so to speak, about the, you know, not trying to, like, you know, catch anyone out, but seeing what, you know, what they really do know about Indigenous issues and Indigenous people. And so we thought that obviously if I go around myself, or Chelsea goes around with a mic, they're probably, you know, really unlikely to answer the questions.
Yeah, I've done a lot of voxies in my time here at NITV, and I've found that as well. It's like people give you the safe answer, or they'll avoid sort of giving you the answer that makes them, because they don't want to make you uncomfortable. But if they're speaking to someone of their own brethren, then, you know, you're going to be more honest, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. So it obviously worked a lot better. And we're not trying to really make fun of people, but it's really shone a light on, still in this day and age, what people do and not do and don't know about, you know, us as First Nations people. So that's the idea of it. Really.
Yeah, I think it's really clever, and good on little Imogen with a J there. I think she did quite well there last night.
Yeah, she did.
I was just really thinking, must be intimidating sitting there with you and Chelsea sometimes.
We always say that. Well, we're not really that scary. We're quite friendly.
Mm. Once Chelsea gives that stare there, though, I duck away from the TV, you know.
Hey.
I was like, oh, Chelsea, cut me in half of those eyes. And tell us about how you came up with the top 10. So last night you had a men's top 10 of the, I guess, 10 biggest douches of the of the year. How did you come up with that?
We did it for the first time last year. And it was because, you know, our show initially is firstly about First Nations women, black women, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women. And, you know, our audience was them. That's the whole intention of the show, firstly, and when we started it. And we're just, you know, we go through the news items throughout the year and find mostly, you know, we don't discriminate. We'll call women out too if they're behaving badly. Thank you, Samantha Armitage. But but you know, it has to be a list of men. And you know, so we did it last year, and there was a whole lot of Me Too movement stuff happening.
Yep.
So there were, you know, heaps of people on the list, and that was our highest rating show. And everything just seemed to fall into place this year as well, with the SBS theme of Is Australia Sexist? And yeah, so there was a very lot of badly behaving politicians this year. Sportsmen are always on the list. So we just collate that stuff, put it, you know, and we don't want to make it out like it's us just picking these people. So we put it out to the community and let them vote. And then we call them out at the end of every year.
This is the best call out too. I love it. I love the top 10. I was like, oh, maybe Triple J could play that on Jan 26. We'll have Wild Black Women's Top 100.
Yeah, hey, yeah, they should. It'd be more entertaining, I'll tell you.
And how important is it to have a space like this for Aboriginal women, not only, I guess, on the radio networks and the podcast world through your podcast, but on television? And that's one thing I was sitting at home last night thinking, you know, like, wouldn't imagine a day when I was a young fella where we had a full show with Aboriginal women talking women's empowerment, for people of colour, you know, feminism, the sisterhood. How important is it to have these discussions on TV and have a space on TV?
Oh, it's massively important. You know, we're invisible most of the time, and we have been for a long time, and people are still trying to erase us from conversation and, you know, dialogue and all of that sort of thing. I'm still sitting here watching TV, watching a black sister, a black person come on a Target ad and going, no, is that a Murray? You know, like, I'm still doing that, and I'm really surprised that, you know, there's so many deadly, you know, I'm not a journalist by any means, but there's so many deadly women out there and academics and sisters who should be on these shows. And I don't know why in this day and age they're not being given the more kudos and limelight that they deserve.
Yeah, that's so very true. But hopefully through Wild Black Women, it certainly can create a space for that going forward. You know, like you said, we have so many amazing women out there in our communities, and some you've never, ever even heard of. You know, the 1%ers out there doing, you know, saving their communities with no resources, no money.
Oh, absolutely. You know. The aunties working hard in the communities, and you never see that on TV. You know, they love the bad news stories, as we know, but, you know, it's struggling to get some positivity about us all the time.
Yeah. Look, I can't let you go without talking about Trevor Noah.
Oh, Uncle Trev. Your brother, Trev.
Your man now. Oh, when's the wedding season? Am I getting an invite or what?
Oh, good guy. That'd be a long time waiting for that.
But, that blew up huge this year. It's probably, you know, one of the biggest stories sort of in radio and in television around what Trevor said and how he's got him on his show and things like that. How was that whole experience, and I guess did it leave a bad taste in your mouth?
It left a bad taste in our mouth in the sense that we weren't thrilled, but we were like, as you know, even though as mad as we get, as Chelsea did say on the show last night, we're very forgiving people, you know.
We're
we're not angry and violent and stuff all the time, but, you know, we gave him the opportunity. The most annoying thing is that we gave him the opportunity to redeem himself and sort of understand where we were coming from, that we were very gracious to him in the interview, and he just doubled down. And to be quite honest, I got bored very quickly interviewing him because I just knew that he was just going to do the politician speak back to me the whole time. And I thought, really? You're not even mature enough to have a proper, you know, discussion? Considering, the strict similarities between stuff like apartheid and you know, the White Australia policy, and like he couldn't even make those parallels. It was really disappointing. And
yeah, when I was watching that whole show or just listening to it, I just almost wanted to give him the old Maury backhander, you know, because
hey.
he just the way he wouldn't apologise for you, and you and Charles, you know, kept at him and. But the way he just wouldn't apologise and accept it, you know, it was just offensive. It was just shark. It really was. Totally put me off him forever.
Yeah. And I think, most people, and I think, I forgot what I was just going to say. But I think it showed more.
Don't worry, I do it all the time, and I've got a radio show too, so.
<We're right. laughs> But it showed, what it did was actually show him for what he really was. I think he made a fool of himself by not coming to the party and doing that.
Yeah, well. Congratulations on the year that you and Chelsea have had. Old 007 herself, Dr. Chelsea Bond, the new Bond person.
Yes.
There. Shout out to you, Chelsea. Yeah, I know you couldn't be with us today for other reasons, but I hope you're doing well, my sister. Congratulations, Ange, on all the great work and the discussions and the place that you've given black women, you know, a space of empowerment and a place to tell their stories this year. So thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the support.
No, that's all right. I'm always here for you. But quickly, before I let you go, I asked you to request a song today. Can you tell me what it is and why?
Oh, Black Rage, Lauryn Hill, self-explanatory, but she's one of my favourite artists ever. And what else can you say about her show? But Black Rage.
Black Rage all the way. Okay.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.